Without them, it's not really a collaboration. And if they go because they decide they're going to retire, you never knew that because you didn't talk about it enough, or they decide they're going to retrench their business and focus back on an old niche, they're gone, and you can't do it without them. If you design a whole project to work together and they've gone, then what happens? So collaborations really need to talk a lot more about some of the bigger things about your business and yourself as a leader before you start signing agreements and getting things busy. It's a different way of working. It's business as unusual. It's not just about know-how. It's about know what, when, who, and why. Which really starts to mean that the challenge is quite acute in collaboration. To really challenge yourself to become a leader who expands their ability to be able to find out people's motives, people's fears, people's concerns, people's barriers, people's obstacles that might stop them working with you on something phenomenal. And that's a wonderful challenge for any leader who wants to grow and take on a new sort of level of capacity. And in this realm of networks and collaboration, IQ is not the thing that makes the most difference. MBAs and PhDs are really not as important as what we call collaboration IQ, which is, I believe, the most important skill of the next 100 years. And collaboration IQ includes things like empathy, listening, being networked, going to networking things. It includes responsiveness to situations, resilience. It includes a whole set of capacities that we have to develop ourselves in ourselves. Scientists have said recently that bacteria are better able to collaborate than most of us. If you think about it, a bacteria doesn't create illness unless it collaborates with another million or 100 million organisms. Yet we sort of think we can do it all on our own. And that's because we've been trained to think that. We've been trained at school to compete. Right from the egg and spoon race right up to university where he who gets or she who gets the best mark wins whatever it is. Right up to the Nobel Prize. You don't see Nobel Prizes awarded to a professor and 20 of his PhD students. You see it awarded to an individual. So we are trained to reward individuals doing things on their own. So it's actually quite a seismic shift, but we are born to collaborate. And a lot of research coming out of some of the animal behaviour studies and the child psychology studies at the moment shows that kids, infants, chimpanzees, from scratch, without reward, will try and help and they will try to collaborate with people around. Animals do the same thing, crows, etc. So we're actually born to collaborate, but we're told normally not to for 20 odd years because it doesn't help us succeed, apparently, in the old world. So you have really about trusting that we are built to collaborate. Collaboration is our natural way of operating when we're not scared and we're not told to do things in a certain way. So it's really about trusting yourself and trusting others. There's a very famous game in collaboration and cooperation science called The Prisoner's Dilemma, which you may have heard about. It's a wonderful example of this is in The Wire. And The Prisoner's Dilemma basically says you've got two people come caught for something, and you want to kind of get a confession out of one of them. So you walk in, you keep them separate, and you walk into each room, and you go, oh, the other guy's just totally dobbed you in, mate. And, you know, if you want to have any way of getting out of this, you're going to have to tell me that they did it. And of course, they did it to both people at the same time. And The Prisoner's Dilemma does that on a massive scale as a research study. And the basic rule of The Prisoner's Dilemma is start cooperating with each other, start collaborating together. And if they stop doing it, then you stop doing it. That's the kind of point of doing The Prisoner's Dilemma. But the point of that is start collaborating as your first move is to start collaborating, to trust the other person that's got the right intentions and the right aims. And then if they don't, or they're not ready yet, then you can go, okay, well, I think we're not going to pursue this any further. Seek the win-wins between each other. It's one of my mantras. Seek the win-wins. There's a win-win here. What is it? And actually now bring on an extra win. Seek the win-win-wins. Because I believe if we have the creativity and the intellect, we can find not just the way that I can win and you can win, the way that I can win, you can win, and society can win. And that's something that is, I think, where the world is going, is how can we create win-win-wins where the collective is as rewarded as the individuals who are collaborating. And they always exist. I do lots of this kind of work. I run a lot of workshops in this area. And people go, well, I can't find a win-win between the health secretary and this company doing something over here. Random. So you can plug to any two organisations and you can find a win-win between them. I can challenge you to do it. And then you can always find a way you can change the model, change the focus, and create a win-win-win. But But you have to do, if you're going to do that, you have to let go of sometimes our assumptions and sometimes some of our most cherished notions about how the world works. Is it a risky business? Is collaboration a risky business? Well, everything has risk. There's a risk associated to all growth, to all change. And I actually believe, as he discovered, that holding on to our old way of working is actually far more dangerous than risking new ones. And he's not alone in discovering that. There are many, many companies who are finding themselves no longer in business because they didn't get with the new program and didn't get with the way things are working now. So, in a collaborative economy, to summarise, I believe the resources and wealth flow to those with common purpose, openness, and a willingness to share. Because you don't get to keep all the rewards of a collaboration. You have to share. And that's something to think about. And it makes me very inspired to see that on the Cornish Council's motto is one and all. So you guys have been doing this for, I presume, millennia, connecting for each other, forced by geography, culture, class, ethnic origin, etc., to work together. And there is no reason why this part of the world can't be a global leader in collaborative economies, collaborative businesses, collaborative thinking, collaborative mindset. And Charles Darwin said, in the long history of humankind and animal kind too, those who learn to collaborate and improvise most effectively have prevailed. No talk about being selfish. Collaborate and improvise, i.e. collaborate and innovate. So, to sort of give you a sense, Roland, who you'll hear later, and I actually collaborate. We have a co-business that we share called the Open Innovation Accelerator. We're running one on February the 1st in London, I'm sorry to say. But if you book by the end of tomorrow using this code P2S, you get a 20% discount if you want to come along and join us. And we're going to do lots of more of this stuff and how you tools and techniques. And then I have a book out on my website, which is a peer-to-peer a coaching toolkit. It's coaching, but you do it together. So you don't have to have a coach, and it's very cost effective. So if you want more of this kind of stuff and develop your collaborative leadership self, please go to that. This presentation will be up on this website under public presentations probably, let's say, Monday, Tuesday. So if you want to download it, please feel free to.